This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I'm actually leaving a little bit early because I have a few things that I can do at home, and things are puttering along here at my major client, and that all's going well. I do have a major presentation to do next week. It's going to be the kind of part two of the big presentation that I had done a couple of weeks ago to close up that business process investigation that I was working on. And so I'm basically just going to redo the presentation that I had done a couple of weeks ago, except this time it'll be in front of the entire executive committee. And then in these last 2 weeks, we've been doing a very quick proof of concept where we're tying together some pieces of various technologies to show how the design principles that I talk about in the business process investigations could be put into practice with one specific little area that we decided to focus on. So all that seems to be going fine, and I had finished up a little early, and I thought, well, let's see. You know, I could find something else to do here for another hour, or I could just go ahead and go on home and get started early on some of the other things that are going on this evening. And so I decided to do that. It is Thursday night. I am going over to see my daughter tonight, and we're going to record some more Knit Central stuff. I have been remiss over the last week and a half. I've been so busy with the marketing stuff on the Vanework stand that I have been remiss in going out every day to see what knits out there and then posting a little something about it on Facebook. I've just been busy. But having said that, the marketing stuff for the Vanework stand seems to be progressing along fairly nicely. The website is coming together. I have made some good contacts. Good enough contacts, and enough things are sort of floating around there that I decided that it was time to go quiet about the Vanework stand and what I'm working on there. I'm going to go quiet for another several weeks until we get to launch, and then we'll talk about some more about, you know, some of those things. But for right now, I'm going to find other topics to talk about. If you're interested and you're listening and you want to go out and take a look at the website, which is still a work in progress as of today, it's out at vainworks.com, V-A-I-N-W-O-R-K-S. It's spelled the right way, not the way I spell it in my consulting business. So it's just vainworks.com. And that all is coming together. I have more to do there in terms of articles to write and some video demonstrations to do, but the core of it is coming along. And I did go by and see the injection molder this last week, and everything's puttering along on his side. He's actually getting ready to cut some steel. So he's got all his plans drawn up, and I did go by to see the box people and talked a little bit more about what we're going to do there. And part of my plan this weekend, if I can get the sizes of the sides of the boxes, is to develop what's going on the sides of the boxes, get that taken care of as well. So it's very exciting. A lot of things that are going on, and it's a good adventure. It's fun. It really has been fun. And so we'll just see. If something comes of it, that'll be great. If nothing comes of it, it was a great adventure. So, like I said, though, there are some things going on in the marketing side that I don't feel like I should be talking about at this point. So we're just going to delay talking about those things and how the principals have helped out with those things. And instead, we're going to talk about something that I mentioned last week or the week before that. I mentioned a group called Insane Clown Posse. And frankly, I think maybe I had heard mentioned of this group once, but I came across an article, and as I was reading this article, I just thought, wow, this is very sad. This is very, very sad. And the reason that it's sad is because there isn't an understanding of the basic principles and the basic framework. And whenever you don't have an understanding of the basic framework, then the flesh and the world and the devil can make you dance pretty much any tune it wants to. And that leads you to places where you're upside down. You think you're doing something for one reason, and in fact, you're really doing something for another reason. And one of the ways that you can identify that, if you really just take time to think about it, is that you will see a disconnect between what you think you're accomplishing and what you're really accomplishing, and there'll be a tension between those two things. And as you look around your life, what you're going to see is that your life is surrounded by destruction as opposed to being surrounded by life. And Jesus talked about this on the Sermon on the Mount. He said there are two doors, two gates. He said, broad is the path, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate, straight is the path that leads to life. And so if your life is on the path to life, you should be looking around your life and seeing life, seeing growth, seeing wholeness, seeing contentment. If, on the other hand, you look around your life and all you see is destruction and anger and violence and depression and anxiety, you should really take a step back and say, why is my life filled with this? Now, I will tell you, and we'll talk about this in a moment, that the flesh is very good about convincing you that it's not your fault, or it's just par for the course, or that's just the way it is, that because of what you do, you're just going to have that type of destruction around you. But I would submit that if you see that kind of thing around you, you really need to step back and say, why everywhere I look do I see anger and bitterness and jealousy and rage? Because if that's what you see around yourself, if that's what you hear coming out of your mouth, if that's what people are manifesting when they're around you, you would be well advised to step back and say, am I really on the path to life, or am I on the path to destruction? And it really, frankly, doesn't matter what your religious beliefs are, whether you claim to follow Buddha or Hindu or Islam or Jesus Christ, whatever. If you look around yourself and you find yourself on the path to destruction, you should really reevaluate and try to get back to the path of life. Anyways, so, Insane Clown Posse. Okay, I had not really heard that much about these guys, but apparently there are a couple of rappers, and they are just about as far as you could get into destruction. Their lyrics are very violent, very misogynistic. I will not even quote any of their lyrics because they are filled with profanities and obscenities. I mean, they are just as vulgar and hateful as you could imagine anyone would be. Insane Clown Posse has been together for about 20 years as a group. Their fans are called Juggalos. Insane Clown Posse wears clown makeup, and so their fans, when they come dressed up in clown makeup as well. Their concerts and their fans have been linked to numerous violent outbursts. They have actually been banned from performing in some cities because of the violence that was incited when they performed. And lo and behold, I just hate even saying this. Lo and behold, a couple of years ago, and this was the topic of the article, they came out and declared that all this time, they've actually been evangelical Christians. Wow. They've been followers of Jesus Christ. Well, they've been evangelical Christians. I honestly... Jesus knows their hearts. We'll just leave it at that. So the article was about the reporter going to talk to them about this because of a recent song that had been released, which was their most religious statement to date. I guess a couple of years ago they came out and said they were Christians. And in explaining their actions, one of the rappers whose name is Violent J, he explained himself to a New Jersey newspaper, and he said this: "You have to speak their language. You have to interest them, gain their trust, talk to them, and show you're one of them. You're a person from the street, and you speak of your experiences, and then at the end you can help them, God has helped me." Okay, so their approach is that we're going to go out and we are going to be as violent and misogynistic in our lyrics so that we can attract some attention, so that people will be drawn to us, so that then we can tell them, well, we're Christians and God has helped us. First of all, the great thing about free will is that God gives us free will, and we as individuals have every right to choose to behave in the ways that we wish to choose. I'm not saying there won't be consequences and outcomes from choosing certain lifestyles, but we all have the right to choose. So nothing that I'm about to say takes away in any manner from the choices that Insane Clown Posse has made and their right to choose those choices. However, when you put their behavior within the framework and the principles, there are some things that you can extrapolate quite easily. Quite easily. For one thing, flesh breeds flesh. So, it is not surprising at all if you are constantly singing, rapping about violence and about misogynistic attacks on women, that the fans who listen to this would engage in that type of behavior, because flesh breeds flesh. That's not to say that just because you listen to someone saying the F word 15 times in a row, or just because you read some lyrics of violence, that you're going to go out and commit violence. You have to take it into your soul and digest it and allow the flesh to latch onto it. But if you as an artist are doing nothing more than spewing out hatred and misogyny, you can bet that is going to resonate with the flesh in others, and that's going to cause behaviors. Because the flesh is just looking for any outlet. And in those people who have decided they want to act that way anyways, having this input just justifies their behavior. And so when you output flesh, you reap flesh. There was an interesting story about Insane Clown Posse, because when they were getting started early on, there was a moment when they might have gone a different direction and had a different type of career. Apparently, there was a young man who had made some flyers up because he was having some sort of party. And this is at the time when Insane Clown Posse was really starting to ramp up and get started. And he took one of these flyers to wherever they were performing. And he had them listed on there as possibly showing up. And one of the guys from Insane Clown Posse got all upset and said, "What do you mean putting this on here? You know, you didn't even ask us to put this on here," and cussed him out. And the young man said, "Well, it doesn't say you're coming. It just says maybe you'll show up. And so that's why I'm asking you now." Okay, well, that's not the greatest approach. But Insane Clown Posse's response to that was flesh-driven. It was bitterness. It was anger. It was rage. So it turns out that kid was Eminem, who, of course, went on to be an extremely successful rapper, and then kept that chip on his shoulder, and every chance he got turned around to criticize them, and he made an enemy out of them, because flesh breeds flesh. So when you make a decision that you are going to spew flesh, whatever your inner justification is for doing that, you can count on the fact that flesh is going to come spewing back at you. It's just going to. Because the flesh in others loves it when the flesh throws stuff at it, because then it can rise. I mean, the flesh is just waiting for some justification to rise up. And so if you give that flesh in another person any kind of justification to rise up, it's going to rise up, unless that other person happens to be a spiritually disciplined person. That's the external result, though. So even though they're thinking, well, we're going to go down there, we're going to talk their language, we're going to help them see God, what they're really doing is spewing flesh behavior. And what you get back from flesh is flesh. The only way you get back spirit is if, A, the person is spiritually mature that you're spewing at, or if instead of spewing flesh, you minister spirit. When you minister spirit, chances are you'll get spirit back. I was in the post office doing some mailing that we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, and I was working at one of the machines. And I heard a voice over my shoulder, a female voice, say, "Do you know if that machine sells one stamp?" And I turned around and I said, "You know, I don't think it does. I think you have to buy like a book of stamps." "Oh, okay." And so, and you know, a very nice woman. And I said, "But you know," I said, I think I may have some stamps with me." And she said, "Well, I'll buy one off you." I said, "You know, if one human being cannot give a stamp to another human being, I don't know where we've come to in life." And she laughed, and I pulled out my wallet and I was looking through, and then I didn't have any stamps. And I said, "Oh," I said, I apologize. I said, "Now I'm embarrassed because I thought I had stamps, but apparently I don't have stamps." And she said, "Oh no, that's okay." And by this time, you know, we'd kind of laughed and joked about a few things. And by this time, she started saying, "Oh, no, hon, that's okay. It's no problem." I said, "I'm really sorry." She said, no. She said, "That's okay." Okay. All that exchange could have gone very, very differently. I am getting my mail, and we have a long tubular package. I don't know what this is, If you hear a big explosion in the next minute, it was a bomb. Okay, one moment, because I have to fold this up and get that open. And okay, one moment. I'll be right back. Oh, Lynette ordered something. Oh, I know what this is. My wife had ordered a keyboard stand. One moment. Sorry, I know I don't usually take this long. Gotta get mail. Okay, here we go. All right, I'm back. Anyways, so that conversation could have gone completely different. You know, if I was in a foul mood and I heard this voice over my shoulder, and it said, do you know if this machine sells single stamps? And I turned around and said, what? Am I supposed to know everything about this machine? I mean, come on. Okay. Okay, you know what would have happened? I would have gotten flashback. But the fact that I was kind and generous and I attempted to help, I walked away from that conversation. And I will guarantee you that person was thinking, wow, that's a really nice person. And we just had a lovely little conversation. Because flesh breeds flesh, spirit breeds spirit. Okay, that's external. However, it's more than just external. Because what was interesting about this article, and I'm backing into my garage, is this reporter was fairly incredulous about the fact that these guys were saying, oh yeah, we've been Christians all along. And he quite astutely took them down some paths of saying, so like those lyrics, you know, and he quoted some of the lyrics, which I will not do. He says, you know, those are pretty offensive lyrics and don't. And the response he got back from these guys in talking to them about these, they just looked and they said, what? Huh? He says, the reporter said, so all those unpleasant characters in the songs, I ask, like the narrator in, okay, and I'm not even going to say the title of the song, they're examples of people you shouldn't be? And they said, what? And he said, well, it's very unpleasant, you know, and he goes and quotes, so is your Christian message, don't be like that? And they were like, what? They couldn't get the disconnect. And then their response was, oh, no, those are just jokes. It's just funny that somebody would talk like that. What? Okay, again, free will. They have the choice to act and talk like whatever they want to. But there are always consequences that come out of that. When you spew flesh, you get back flesh. But something else also happens. It's not just external, it's internal. And this is where I felt like the reporter, I thought, good call. Because the reporter is on the outside, he's looking at this. And I could tell you this as well, because I understand the principles. The reporter understands that there is a disconnect, that they're saying one thing about what they believe in a religious context, but they are manifesting constantly a completely different context. And the reporter maybe can't put their finger on it, but they came up with, but he came up with something, and we'll call it a whisper. Listen to what he says in this paragraph. I suddenly wonder, halfway through our interview, if I'm looking at two men in clown makeup who are suffering from depression. Well, understanding the principles, understanding the framework, that's an easy extrapolation. Because if you are claiming that you are one thing, but you're also allowing the flesh to manifest so much through your life, the flesh is going to take that and put you into a mental grinder. Anytime there's a disconnect in your life between what you know to do and what you're actually doing, the flesh will use that to put you in a mental grinder. It's inevitable. And listen to the response. I cautiously ask them this, and Violent J immediately replies, I'm medicated, he says. I have a lot of medicine that I take for depression, panic attacks, really a serious part of my life. He points at Shaggy. He's gone through some things as well. Shaggy nods. You do a show in front of hundreds or thousands of people. You're giving your full being, your soul to every person in that crowd. Every pore in your body is sweating. You're fighting consciousness just to get it out of you. And after the show, your fans are partying. Yeah, rock and roll. And you're just here. He glances around the dressing room. And I cut out some stuff, but we'll, because couldn't read it. Violent J turns to him and says softly, well, if we moved furniture for a living, we'd have a bad back and bad knees. We think for a living. We try to create. We constantly think of cool ideas. And every once in a while, there's a breakdown in the engine. I guess that's just the price you pay. No. No. I think for a living, too. I'm creative, too. I don't get panic attacks. I'm not medicated for depression. Not that... Okay. Look, some people have legitimate chemical imbalances in their brains, and they need chemicals to help them rebalance. But these guys are simply in a mental grinder. And they want to say, oh, look how we're suffering for our art. And we have to suffer for our art because this helps us to talk to people about God. But there's a real disconnect of what's happening here. And what's happened is the flesh in them has convinced them that this is a viable way to get to people and to tell them about God. And in fact, every time they come out with one of these revelations, all they get is boos and catcalls and hisses from their Juggalo fans because they're on a path of destruction. Now, if that's the path they choose for their lives, that's fine. Me personally, I would rather be on a path to life. Because honestly, it's better. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.